Hi, everyone. 3:05. Gym class coming your way. Thursday edition. A little warm outside. Hope you have your water with you or your beverage of choice. Probably not a good idea to overindulge outside today, Mark.
I'd say oppressive is the appropriate word, right?
It is oppressive out there.
It's the kind of day you start your vehicle to get the air going.
Yes, you
Much like you would in the wintertime to get the heat going. Yeah.
Well, we will discuss that coming up because we have a query for our audience out there. We'll do that here in just a little bit. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Alex Kuhn. Thursday edition of the Gym Class coming your way right here on KGYM. We're going to talk the state baseball tournament with KJ Pilcher, who covers it for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We will do that here in just a little bit. And we'll give you the state softball scores as well. But we mentioned at the beginning of the show here, Mark, good news for the Iowa men's basketball program today. Actually, within the last 90 minutes or so, the NCAA has announced that forward Dale Jones of the Iowa men's basketball team has been granted a sixth year of eligibility by the NCAA. He now has 2 years of eligibility remaining. If you remember, he suffered an ACL injury on his right knee. I believe in his second game as a Hawkeye. Thought it was going to be not as serious, but it turned out to be serious enough. Missed the entire season, and he will be in the fold for 2 more years for the Iowa basketball team, which means in, not next year, which is 16-17, 17-18, Iowa, with Connor McCaffrey coming in at that point, will be at its full allotment. So this does change things a little bit as far as scholarships are concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jones, 6'7", 227, apparently a promising piece in the Iowa basketball puzzle. And this, if that's the case, it only means good things, I think, for the Iowa basketball program. Jones, of course, from Waterloo.
Waterloo West High.
Went to Tyler Junior College in Tyler, Texas, before transferring to Iowa. As I said, you know, if the knee holds up and he lives up to his promise, this is good things for Iowa.
Yeah, so that is good news for the Hawkeyes today. Didn't really, you know, we obviously didn't get a chance to see what Dale Jones could bring to the table last year. He went out so early, but 6'7", he can shoot the three, can take people inside. He's a little bit of a matchup nightmare because he can go at a big two. He can go with a three as well. And you might squeeze him into a four sometimes, but more than likely a two or a three.
It'll be interesting to see how he fits into the rotation this year. Iowa's got a lot of different pieces, and Fran McCaffrey will have a challenge on his hands, I think. A good challenge at that, in terms of putting a rotation together.
Kind of like, it reminds me of what it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When Coach McCaffrey could go many different ways. As far as what lineup he wanted to put out there, if he wanted to go big, if he wanted to go small, if he wanted to go with a good shooting team.
Probably not a bad thing, is it?
No, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. Sometimes playing time becomes a little bit of a question, but if you have a team that's cohesive and together, which you hope the team you follow is, if you are an Iowa fan, that won't be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So Dale Jones gets a sixth year. Also, just piggybacking on what we talked about yesterday, Big 12 expansion, an impromptu poll conducted among the college football coaches. Very interesting, Mark, that of the coaches anyway, they're wanting the Big 12 to go to BYU, to Provo, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much across the board for Utah, or for BYU anyway. And I know the guys in the APC hit upon this yesterday. We touched upon it as well. The Pac-12, are they going to go to 14 teams? Are they going to approach some of the Big 12 teams? This is going to get messy again coming up. As soon as the first move is made, you're going to see all of the deck chairs on the cruise ship start to move a little bit.
I think positioning probably is underway right now behind closed doors.
And oh, absolutely.
It won't be long before that next round of expansion happens, and maybe bringing together a couple conferences, or I don't know. It's going to be very interesting, and who makes the first move, and then the dominoes after that.
And you could see, they're talking about the fact you could see maybe the Big 12 get poached again I don't see that particularly. I know there was talk. Rick Neuheisel mentioned the fact, who, of course, coached in college football and now an analyst. He mentioned yesterday on a national show that the Arizona schools, some of the Pac-12 schools, aren't happy with the Pac-12 right now. Mm-hmm. They think it's a little bit too California-centric to some of the California schools. Of course, he's a UCLA guy and probably was talking about that school across the across the city out there in Los Angeles. But anyway, it's going to get very interesting and very messy before all is said and done with that. Despite the weather, there is state softball going on at the Harlan Rogers Park over there in Fort Dodge. Tough one earlier today for Coach Jim White and the Solon Spartans as they took a lead. They had a lead pretty much throughout the game, led 1-0 going into the top of the sixth inning, came up with a second run, had a 1-0 lead despite not coming up with a hit, which is interesting, but that happens sometimes when you get to this point of the softball or the baseball season. Led 2-0 in the top of the sixth inning. Assumption came back to tie it up in the bottom of the sixth inning. And then Assumption winning it with a walk-off three-run home run in the bottom of the seventh inning. Young lady by the name of Ackerman coming up with the home run for Assumption. That would be Ashley Ackerman. And that was all she wrote. Assumption gets the victory over Solon. So Solon will now play in the third place game. And it looks like they're going to be playing against Boyden Hall Rock Valley. They are taking on number one rated Benton Community right now. And the Bobcats at last look here. I want to make sure I got this right here. 2-0 was the lead last I looked. But let's update that right now. 3-0 Benton Community on top. And they have moved to, looks like, the top of the seventh inning right now. So it looks like Benton will be going back to the state championship game for the second straight year. And they will play Davenport Assumption. If that's the case, that will be number one versus number two in that one. The other game going on right now, Oskaloosa, they are leading Fairfield, that by a score of 7-1 going on at the state softball tournament.
Iowa City, Regina in the 2A semifinals at 5:30. The Regals will face Logan Magnolia, a team that is 33-2. So 2A semifinals, the other part of that bracket is BCLUW and Van Meter. And then tonight, semifinal round action.
You got your computer turned down.
Semifinal round action in 5A.
That'll be coming up later on. And it's a warm one out there. I know they're taking breaks. That was tweeted out a little bit earlier on. More breaks than usual as far as the heat is concerned. They'll be fine out there. They're young. They can pace themselves and take care of themselves.
A poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Which is worse, extreme heat or extreme cold? Vote at KGYMradio.com. If you have comments, Guppy's on the go. Text line 319-366-1600.
No question in my mind. Same with Alex Kuhn. Much rather be hot.
Depends on what season it is.
I don't care.
I hate both. I really do. And the older I get, I hate it even worse. But having had a heat exhaustion at one point in my life, I can't stand the heat anymore. And you know this.
I hate 30 below, though.
I do, too. I mean, the good thing is you can stay in.
Either one.
Extreme heat or extreme cold. I know folks that work in the trades, and we see them out there at Lunchbox Heroes. We've talked to them, and almost to a man and woman, they say they'd much rather work in extreme cold.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you can layer up.
Yeah.
Out there, and we were out yesterday at Thompson Trucking for mm-hmm. Lunchbox Heroes, and they had shorts on out there to help out mm-hmm. Battling the heat a little bit and taking a lot of water breaks. A lot of the brand new sport drink mm-hmm. from Dr. Pepper was consumed yesterday.
Indeed. At the facility just south of and across the road from Prairie High School, the Prairie campus, and there's not much shade out there.
No, there's not a lot of shade out there. We're going to talk with KJ Pilcher coming up here in just a couple of minutes and get his thoughts about the pairings for the state baseball tournament. We might talk a little bit about Olympic wrestling coming up, too. Of course, Dan Dennis is going to be headed off to Rio, and KJ will have a lot about that coming up. But we know the field for the state baseball. I'm going to ask KJ how they come up with the seeding procedures for this year. I think they must they kind of ping-pong back and forth between overall record, and you get so many points for beating a 4A team, 3A team, 2A. They must be back to getting the point for beating 4A, 3A, 2A, and 1A, because there are some very interesting seedings that came out of the state baseball tournament pairings last night.
Yeah, you look at 4A, excuse me, and Jefferson beating Kennedy last night 4-1. And has a very good season, not a great season so far, but not an awful one by any means, at 28-11. And the Jayhawks are the number 7 seed.
Yeah.
And that probably tells you how good that 4A field is. And you have Dyersville Beckman, excuse me, plays a very good schedule in its class and above. 24-17 is the record. But the Blazers are in a number 2 seed.
True. That is true. Yeah. And they'll be a tough out coming up in Class 2A. But congratulations to our local teams for making it. The Jefferson Jayhawks get the win last night. First time since 1998 that they are going to the state baseball tournament. The Vanscoys gave up only one run between them last night. And it was a huge crowd over there at Lower Kingston from both Jeff and Kennedy. A lot of kids were out there, and that's good to see.
Yeah, indeed. And these two teams, as you know, you had a boy play for Kennedy. I had one play for Jefferson. And these two teams have gone back and forth for a lot of years. And for a lot of years, it was Kennedy that stood in Jefferson's way. And finally, the Jayhawks got over the hump. And how long has it been?
Well, since 98.
Well, I know how long it is. My son was on that team, and he's married, has three kids, and he's got a kid going to Jefferson next year or this year. So that's how long it's been.
So it's been a while.
Yes, it has.
It's been a while. But the Jayhawks are going back, and they will meet Iowa City West. West won the doubleheader back on May 31st when they got together. And Charlie Stumpf will tell you, and Kyle Rodenkirk will tell you, that means nothing right now. That was a long time ago. But West High, as the number 2 seed, will be down there. That's a 2-7 game. We'll talk more with KJ about this coming up in a little bit. But, boy, you got to think it's West hitting. And Jeff can hit the ball, too. Tyler Rader with a 3-run home run. Grandpa Jack's probably pretty darn happy,
very happy
about that.
Yeah.
And Tyler's going to be going on, I know, to play some college baseball as well here. But you got West with the prodigious hitting, taking on more than likely the Vanscoys, and we'll see if pitching or hitting wins that thing coming up next Wednesday.
Usually pitching prevails, but we'll see about that. And hats off to Prairie, my goodness.
Yeah.
The number one ranked team, number one seed. Last two seasons, the Hawks have won 66 games. And again, goes into the state tournament next Wednesday at 1:30, the number one seed. But that number 8 seed, Scott, Davenport West, what happened with them last night?
They are a terrific, they are a very interesting thing. They are kind of the epitome, Mark, and you know this from following baseball, especially high school baseball. If you have one pitcher, if you have one dominating pitcher, you can do very, very well. And Davenport West has a terrific one in a sophomore, Clayton Nettleton. He's won all three of Davenport West games in the tournament run. He started the first game of the tournament run, came in relief, pitched three innings on Monday, turned around last night, and I believe threw a no-hitter last night against a pretty good Dubuque senior team. And yes, he can. First thing, and I checked it out last night, yes, he can throw a complete game last night after throwing 3 2/3 on Monday. He now has to sit out, but he's got a week now so no problems right there. But very good, dominating, hard throwing pitcher, 86 strikeouts in 71 innings with 21 walks. He has hit 8, so he does have a little bit of control issues at times. But Prairie's gonna have to beat, if not the best pitcher in the state, one of the best pitchers in the state.
Again, that tells you a lot about the 4A field. And That's really a rough matchup for Prairie in the first round, but the Hawks have had a great season. I would expect them to compete very, very well. So,
yeah.
In regards to our poll question, we're getting some texts. Which is worse, extreme heat or extreme cold? Nick says, I can always put more clothes on. I can only get so naked. Thank you for that, Nick.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate the visual. He may look good, though. He probably looks better than we do.
84-62, I'll take extreme cold. You can always add more clothes, but can only take off so many legally. 1900, extreme heat is worse than the cold, says the mailman. There you have it.
They would know.
Somebody's outside every day.
Absolutely. Maybe I'm nuts. Maybe Kuhn and I are nuts.
We'll be asking the same poll question when it's 25 below in February.
And you're all going to say hot. Trust me. You're all going to say hot on this. I know we had to change subjects a little bit.
Sure.
Before we get staying with baseball, but moving on to Major League Baseball. We had the first kind of domino fall yesterday with the I'm not going to say it's a minor trade because Cubs needed some bullpen help, and they got it from the Mariners yesterday. Did have to give up a pretty good hitting prospect. It was a triple-A player to get him, but I think will help the Chicago Cubs in the end. With that in mind, the phones are starting to light up a little bit, and published reports out of Chicago saying a lot of suitors calling the White Sox asking about Chris Sale. And apparently, without knowing exactly what the price tag is, apparently, according to teams, the price tag was quote-unquote fairly outrageous.
Steep.
Steep, which I have no problem with. If the White Sox are going to move Chris Sale, and I think the White Sox probably are going to be sellers, I would imagine, coming up. Two or three games under 500 now. Had a horrible West Coast swing. What new? sorry to use a hawkism there. But I think the White Sox are going to be sellers coming up. I think you could see somebody like a Melky Cabrera change teams, maybe a couple of the other veterans out there. Nate Jones out of the bullpen, I think he could help some people. If you're going to trade Chris Sale as a White Sox fan, you better get a ton back for him, both in Major League ready people and maybe a couple of prospects, because I think he's the best left-hander in baseball.
I don't think the White Sox should move him. I mean, first of all, the Cubs deal, I think Montgomery is going to be a good piece for the Cubs, a left-hander out of the bullpen. But in terms of Sale, the White Sox are not that far off. They're really not. You think they are because they've gone through a couple valleys here, Scott. But
yeah.
They've got some pieces that are really nice. And it's a tough division with Cleveland rolling right now, Detroit and Kansas City both good. I don't think you give away a guy like Sale.
No, I believe that is right. And, yeah, Anderson didn't get a chance to see Davidson much. He's on the 60-day disabled list after hurting himself at first base, running the bases on his very first game this year. After his first major league hit, that's terrific. And he's under contract till 2019 for Chris Sale. Yes, that is beneficial for the White Sox as well. But yeah, I don't see the Sox sending him anywhere. No. I'd like to keep him myself.
I certainly would too. Where's Sam Kinsley these days?
Why is that?
Our former associate producer. Is he in Arizona?
Well, he was, but now I think he's up and moved.
Sam, Texas. Let me tell you guys, it's hot here. 103 in the valley. We're all suffering together.
It's a dry heat, Sam. It's a dry heat.
4286.
What's this corn sweat stuff, by the way?
I don't know. 4286. No one really believes they like the cold better. They just like the lame clothes joke.
Yeah. I don't mind the heat. I despise the cold. Every year it's worse. I'm like you. Every year it is worse.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For me, I would rather have it be hot.
Those weathering the extreme heat right now include players at the Greater Cedar Rapids Open being contested at Hunter's Ridge Golf Course in Marion. Right now, the early leader, Jared Howard, former University of Cincinnati player, shot 7 under par 65, including a 30 on the front nine at Hunter's Ridge. Former champion Mark Blakefield is in at minus two. Bill Heffley from Marion at plus one.
There you go.
A lot of players still either just getting underway or still out on the course.
Tough day to golf, man. Mm. This is a brutal day to be out there. And best of luck to everybody playing in the Greater Cedar Rapids Open. Keep those texts coming at 319-366-1600. Do you like it hot or cold? What's better for you? Extreme cold, extreme heat. What do you take better? 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to KJ Pilcher from the Cedar Rapids Gazette when we come back. So stay tuned, more to come. It is the Thursday edition of the Gym Class coming up right here on KGYM.
This is an important message for used car shoppers from the Coralville Used Car Superstore across from Randy's Carpets. No matter what you want, selection, a value price, great service, on-site financing. Through Monday night at the Coralville Used Car Superstore, the unbeatable sale event delivers. Shop nearly 2,000 vehicles, luxury cars to budget buys, prices under $5,000, payments from $109 a month. Unbeatable. Now through Monday night, every credit application accepted at the Coralville Used Car Superstore. Because nobody works harder to get your credit approved. Unbeatable. Shop certified vehicles, safety inspected and reconditioned. Get a free vehicle history report before you buy. A 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty and a 3-day like it or exchange it policy. The Unbeatable Sales Event through Monday night. The Coralville Used Car Superstore across from Randy's Carpets on the Coralville Strip. For details, log on McGrathAuto.com. Click specials.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports, like you, with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great.
And we want to help you get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class, KGYM.
327 back with you here, and as you just heard, our community MVP spotlight there. We partner with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring that to you. If your organization or charity has a fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. Please submit your information to KGYM. Just go ahead and give us an email here, and then we'll have put it up on the website at KGYMradio.com and click on Community MVP. KJ Pilcher set to join us right now. He was out at Prairie last night watching the Hawks qualify for the state tournament for the first time since 2005. But first, before we talk about that, we got to ask KJ our poll question at KGYMradio.com. Mark, go ahead.
Which is worse, KJ, extreme heat or extreme cold?
You're talking to somebody that grew up in wrestling rooms. Extreme cold.
Thank you.
Terrible.
Yeah, what was the hottest wrestling room you've ever been in, temperature wise?
Oh, that's a good question. When I was at school at Buena Vista, college, we had a small room that didn't have any windows at the bottom of the field house there in Storm Lake. And boy, I want to say that was easily in the 90s, high 90s.
Ah, see,
mid-90s.
You can take this.
You know, and that doesn't sound like much when you're talking about outside temperatures, but when you're inside and you're wrestling, and of course, I didn't have to cut weight, so I didn't really need that. But, you know, we had all these other guys that were doing that a lot tougher than I was, so I had to deal with it. But I deal with that a lot better than cold. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Especially with a tough wind.
About minus 50 of the wind chill.
Yeah.
Just put that in your mind. It's mind
Anytime
over.
You got to wear another animal's fur to keep warm. That's wrong. That's just wrong.
Well put.
Parkas.
Hey, Scott mentioned you were out at the Prairie last night, KJ, and saw the number one ranked Hawks win 7-3 over Cedar Falls. And the two of us talked about the opponent and the pitcher that Davenport West has. So. Your thoughts on that matchup and Prairie's chances?
Yeah, well, I think that party out at Prairie is just winding down. I don't think he wanted to leave the field last night. You did know, you take, they were on cloud nine, but
did you take that frog home? By the way,
I think this is this is probably about as tough of a first round matchup, especially with 4A. It's not like 1A where there's a quick turnaround and stuff. Both staffs are going to be well rested, and Nettleton is going to be able to relax and recuperate after that no hitter against Dubuque Senior. And you know, Prairie beat them 4-1 earlier this season, but against, I want to say, maybe their third or fourth string pitcher, a sophomore. So this is going to be a tough battle, because Dubuque Senior was a really good team. They hit some kind of a little bit of a kind of a losing streak, or the second half of the season they had some more bumps in the road. But that was a very good Dubuque Senior team that Nettleton was able to no hit. And, you know, you've got a lot of scrappy guys on Prairie's lineup. You know, you don't have kind of a superstar that, you know, you might see Jefferson with a Spencer Van Scoy, but you would have a lot of scrappy players. They've got a good defense. So it's going to keep them in. It's going to be whether or not they're going to be able to get those key hits against a thrower like that. And, you know, they're a group that just goes up there, hacks away. They like running the bases, even though they've kind of pulled the reins on that a little bit. We might see it more in Des Moines. And it's going to come down to getting a timely hit or maybe stealing a base or two and putting some pressure on the Davenport West defense. And as a number one seed, that's kind of a tough matchup to see.
Yeah, it is. And you mentioned exactly the word that describes Coach Reimer's Prairie team. That is scrappy. Obviously, they just got a bunch of gamers out there. Cal Clark, probably the most well-known, but Copeland and Reitinger, Mugen, people like that. It's just a good collection of heady ball players.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think, you know, that starts from the top. I mean, I think when Todd Reimer took over, you know, his one of the things that he preached was attitude and effort. And now, of course, they have this thing, this hashtag finish, where it was, you know, you finish games, finish, you know, the regular season strong, finish postseason strong like they did with Substate. You know, they came up a win short of state last year, and that really motivated a lot of them. You know, Ethan Copeland mentioned you know, he had a picture of Iowa City West celebrating after they won the Substate last year. And you know, these are baseball kids. I mean, I think they're you know, that might be a little cliche, but they love playing ball. You know, and they've got the basics, they got the fundamentals, and that's why they're you know, that's why they've won 35 games this year. Play strong defense. And you get good pitching during Kilpatrick, Jared Street, among some of the throwers. And you know, these are smart kids. They're experienced. And, you know, they kind of do the things that you need to do, and that's making the plays behind their pitcher.
You made the remark earlier in the show that if Jefferson is the number 7 seed, that shows you how difficult this 4A field is.
Well, that was a little bit of a head scratcher, and I don't know, maybe I'm playing the role of a homer, but I think if there's anybody that has a case of saying they should be seeded higher, it's Jefferson. But like you said, you know, this is a very, very good team offensively and pitching, you know, especially with, you know, Spencer and Connor Van Scoy kind of leading the way. And you know, what a first-round matchup to have Iowa City West, who's finished second in the 4A field the last 2 years, and Jefferson. You know, West swept them, I think, in the last day of May, May 31st, earlier this year. But, you know, like you said, you know, Jefferson has been fantastic all year long. I think on a 7 or 8 game winning streak right now. You know, you've got some very, very good hitters at the plate. You know, Manny Olatunde is kind of a spark for them. I think earlier in the season, he kind of took over that leadoff role, and Coach Rodenkirk, said he's kind of the one that leads the way. He's the catalyst for a lot of things and kind of sets the table for, Tyler Rader, who had the big hit last night against Kennedy, a three-run home run, and Spencer Van Scoy in the middle of that lineup. And, you know, the thing that makes Jefferson a little bit stronger now is I think Caleb Steckel has really kind of come in. I think he was a little banged up, so he was hurt, so he didn't hit early in the season, and now he's kind of come in. He's got four HRs and 17 RBIs and a limited amount of plate appearances. So, that's a pretty good lineup, and you're seeing that, essentially the number seven seed, they're the second to the last best team in the quarterfinals, and that says a lot about the field.
KJ Pilcher joining us at 3:35 here in the Thursday edition of the Gym Class as we preview the state baseball tournament. Talking about seedings, how did they determine the seedings this year? I know they've done it in the past with a win-loss record, straight win-loss. They've done it by virtue of getting points for beating a 4A, 3A, et cetera, down the line. I know next year they're going to go to the coaches getting together in some of the sports. How did they do it in baseball this year?
Well, I believe it went by the point total again, and I think that's one of the reasons why you see Dyersville Beckman in 2A, the number two seed. And Beckman's kind of an amazing story. You look at their record, and you're sitting there going, the second seed's 24-17. You know, how is that possible when you see some of the other records in the field and stuff? But you know, Beckman, they're 7-0. They've only played like four games against 2A schools in the regular season. Before, they've only had seven total games against the 2A schools, and two of those are against sixth-ranked Cascades, who they beat in the sub-state finals. So they've made a living out of playing 3A, 4A schools. I believe they're 14-15 against 3A schools and 2-2 against 4A schools. So that's 60 wins against schools in higher classes and 1-0 against Fort Dodge St. Edmunds. So, Beckman has certainly made a living out of that. And I think that's why you see a team like that maybe not have the best record during the regular season, but in the postseason have success when they face a 2A competition. And then do well down in Des Moines.
You've got an interesting field in 3A as well, I think, and number one seed Dubuque Wallard, the fourth Mississippi Valley Conference team to reach the state tournament. Solon, which knocked off Mount Vernon in a whale of a pitching matchup. You got a Central DeWitt team that knocked off the number one team in the class as a seven seed. Talk about the field and, in particular, the Wallard-Solon matchup.
You know, Solon is a fantastic story when you look at it. You know, that was a team that started the postseason 18-20. A losing record. That's a Solon team. That I don't think there are very many kids around when they qualified the last time, and that was just in 2014. So that shows you how young they are. And as you mentioned, Luke Ira threw a shutout against Mount Vernon, and they knocked off the number 10 team, the number 10 Mustangs, in a little bit of a rivalry game there. And then they faced number 4 Fairfield, and Dylan Drake, one of the few seniors in the starting lineup, got the win against number 4 Fairfield. So, this is a young Solon team that's really kind of hitting their stride right now. You know, you always hear the thing that you want to be playing your best, in July, and all the rest of it doesn't matter. And, they've won four games straight, including those big wins. And, this is a wide open 3A field as far as I'm concerned. You know, you talked about Assumption not being in the field. Harlan, who's ranked second, and certainly have been regulars at the state tournament under Coach Degas' tenure. They're the number four seed, and of course, you know, we talked about Beckman playing up, you know, higher classes. Waller plays the MVC schedule, and you know that Mississippi Valley Conference Valley Division is just loaded with teams and talented teams. You know, when you think about Iowa City West and Kennedy and Jefferson and senior, so you know that's certainly one that's a title contender. You know, but it's wide open. There doesn't seem to be that one dominant team in Class 3A, and it's anybody's ball game. So, you know, you got DeWitt Central that has two fantastic aces with Sycamore and Steffens. You know, that's a tremendous 1-2 punch. And, you know, they got the big win over Assumption after beating Xavier in extra innings, I believe. So, you know, that's a team that certainly is set up for a good run with two really good arms.
And one very happy Central Sabre alumnus here in the building, down the hallway right there.
He's probably wearing the purple and gold around.
He's going to be wearing the purple and gold next week. Yeah, he is. He better be wearing the purple and gold next week. 1A, North Lynn and Highland, two good teams. Highland a little bit, I think, underpublicized, and they knocked off North Lynn last night. They are the number five seed down there. And then, great story in Edco. They knocked off a rated Albernette team. Edco making their first ever appearance at the state baseball tournament at 21-12. And that's just it's good to see those stories come up like that. I know it helps you guys out.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's really easy to pick up on good storylines. But you know, Edco. I tell you what, I think just about everybody was looking at Albernette and Jessup colliding in that sub-state and seeing who was going to move on. And here comes Edco that, you know, maybe not a lot of people had on the radar. And the one thing with Edco is they've got a lefty starter in Mike Jones who's really shouldered the load for them. 18 innings, all 18 innings in the postseason he's thrown. That includes a 2-0 shutout over Albernette and 7-1 win over Jessup, who is ranked eighth. You know, but what a great story. You know, these guys, I think Jeff Johnson had mentioned that when a lot of these guys were eighth graders and they were forced to play varsity just because of numbers. And then they were like 229 as freshmen, and now, you know, they're going to the state tournament for the first time in school history, and you know, a great story there, great accomplishment, and a lot of hard work and perseverance kind of went into that. And you know, if you look at Jones, it's nice to have that one guy that can kind of carry the load, that starter, that ace that can really propel you along. And you know, just in the three games that he's faced, he's thrown 18 innings and has just about 22 Ks. So that includes 10 against Albernette and that shutout win. So that's great. And you look at Highland. You mentioned Highland too. That's a team that's been on a tear here recently and knocking off North Lynn, a team that was a state tournament team last year. And you know, this is just their second trip. First time since 1984, and they've got a starter that's very, very capable. Chase Rath, who's 8-1 with a 0.59 ERA. He has 114 strikeouts this season, and the team has 216 total. So that tells you all you need to know about what he brings to the table, and he's also one of their top hitters. So I think he's kind of the one that's going to determine how far they actually go down Des Moines.
KJ, you also cover wrestling, and in a couple weeks our eyes will be focused on the Olympics and freestyle wrestling with Dan Dennis of the Hawkeye Wrestling Club participating. I don't see anywhere where he's predicted to medal. I guess I wouldn't count him out, but in terms of wrestling, it looks like Jordan Burroughs and maybe Kyle Snyder could reach a medal stand.
Yeah, you know, obviously those are safe bets. You know, Burroughs has been the top of the heap for years now, and Snyder coming off his world title in Vegas last September, which I had a chance to be there for. What an exciting moment that was. And, you know, with Snyder, you're talking about somebody that's still in college. You know, this is somebody that's just a junior at Ohio State, junior to be. So those are two individuals that you can kind of point to. You know, I wouldn't count out Trevell Delagnev, the Nebraska Kearney heavyweight. You know, he's very experienced. He's had some health problems. You know, he's had some back trouble and stuff like that that's kind of hindered him here recently. But, you know, he's proven that he certainly is a medal contender. And, you know, Dan Dennis is somebody that's very dangerous. And Dennis and Burroughs were two gold medalists at the recent Grand Prix in Germany. You know, there are five medals total for Team USA in freestyle, and they both won gold. And he's somebody that the ceiling is still really high for him. He's just getting back. You know, he took that time off, and, you know, you've got Tom Brands working with him, Mike DeRoe working with him, and he's still learning a lot of things. And, you know, the style, the rules and everything that's been part of freestyle here recently, the changes, that suits him to a T. And, you know, like you saw at the Olympic trials, if he can get on top of somebody and gets that gut wrench, the match can be over just like that in a blink of an eye. So he's somebody that, you know, he's competed well in international tournaments. There are times where he's been leading and then lost to some high-quality competitors. He is very confident that if he gets a chance again, he can finish those out and beat those guys.
And anytime you tell a guy like Dan Dennis he can't do something, that's when they're very dangerous.
Oh, right. You know, he's probably the poster child for using reverse psychology. You can't do that. Oh, yeah, let me show you. That kind of thing. And he is. You know, you doubt him, and he'll be the first one to jump up and say, well, I can too. And if you tell him, you probably aren't going to make the podium, that's only going to light a fire under him.
Yeah, no, that'll be fun to watch those guys down in Rio, and hopefully we'll get to see a lot of that competition through NBC and all the platforms that they're going to have down there. Hey, I saw on your Twitter, did you take that frog home last night that was out of Prairie with you?
I did not, but okay. I'm not an outdoorsy person, so when I'm around creatures like that, it makes me very nervous. So I've seen too many horror movies and stuff. I was waiting for the frog to pounce and do something, but luckily he remained a safe distance away. I was able to finish my story and get out of there. No harm, no foul. So.
Just talk to your girls; they'll cure you of that. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
and get them a drink. That's by the way, get them some water out there in the yard. All right.
Well, hey, once they finish weeding and mowing, I might see about getting them a drink of lemonade or something. But I don't want to have to leave the air conditioning to do that right now.
There you go.
Good stuff. We'll read your stuff from you and Jeff and everybody from Principal Park in Des Moines at state tournament. Have fun over there in Des Moines, and good talking with you, KJ.
Sounds good, Scott, Mark. Thanks. Pleasure as always.
All right. KJ Pilcher, read his stuff at thegazette.com. And he'll be covering the state baseball tournament over there at Principal Park. We'll take a break, come back, and have more of the gym class after this. KGYM.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
Your mind is a blank slate as you enter total relaxation. Safe driver, paperless, multi-car. They are wrapping their savings around you. Like the tinfoil that wraps around your hot dog at a ball game, which for some reason costs $12.50.
Switch to Progressive and surround yourself with savings. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hold everything for less. The Pack Store Save event is going on now at the Home Depot, and the shelves are full of smart moving solutions. like moving boxes from as little as 74 cents. Bubble wrap, mattress covers, packing tape, all in one place. Moving is stressful enough. Getting what you need in one trip shouldn't be. Make your first move to the Pack Store Save event. Going on now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through July 27th, U.S. only.
Napa Know How!
Cold weather slows your battery down. But if it's hot enough to cook breakfast on your hood, your battery could be toast. So pick up a Napa Legend battery today, and you'll get a $15 rebate Visa card by mail. That's 15 bucks back and a new battery. In case your old one gets fried, that's Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, some exclusions apply. Offer expires 7/31/16.
You know, Dalek, sometimes it helps to have an expert opinion.
Like, for sports analysis, you want to listen to a guy who actually played professional sports.
Or a respected sports journalist.
Sure, if we're talking $500 haircuts, I think you'd have a lot to say.
It was $400.
But if you're looking for a great set of tires...
Trust Goodyear. From fire trucks to race cars, Goodyear tires offer superior performance and handling.
And everything they learn making tires for expert drivers inspires what they roll into yours. Go to Goodyear.com to find the right tire and store for you.
Goodyear. More driven.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old-school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
351. We're like two weathermen in here.
It is not doable outside, Scott.
Our friend from Caddy Smack.
So what? We have a breeze.
Rick Swan is out playing golf right now in this stuff.
Good for him. Wow.
Well, he can't do it in the morning, you know.
Yeah.
But he is out there playing right now. And you're thinking he's certifiable at this point.
Yeah, I think so.
We love to talk about the weather in Iowa, and why not?
Yes,
why
we
not
do.
Today? Poll question at KGYMRadio.com, which is worse, extreme heat or extreme cold? And we've garnered some interesting texts on the Guppies on the Go text line, 366-1600. 5997. I work outside as a carpenter every Monday through Friday, and it was a much more miserable day than most days during the winter below freezing. Much rather work in the cold. 2007. If stranded on the side of a highway with a broken down vehicle in the extreme cold, at least there's actually a way to be prepared with blankets, candles, etc. Andy, I'm with you, Scott. Every winter is worse, and I swear I'm going to move. Isn't it interesting how many Northerners retire to Florida, Texas, and Arizona, but how few of those states' natives retire to Minneapolis?
Except my parents.
11:15.
They do it Northern Minnesota.
The Heat MVPs are the kids playing in the Iowa Open Tennis Tournament at Vets Memorial today.
Absolutely.
One boy is about to play his fourth match of the day. That's about 5 to 6 hours on asphalt in this heat.
And you know what? They'd play two more if you'd let them. When we were young, we didn't think about it.
Yeah.
We just did it.
Yeah.
We just did it, man.
92-44. Extreme heat is terrible. I enjoy the cold, honestly.
Keep them coming. Go to the website, KGYMRadio.com. Benton Community has advanced with a 4-1 victory over Boyd and Hull Rock Valley. They will take on Davenport Assumption in the 3A state championship game that will be tomorrow morning at just past 10 o'clock. They will have all five of the championship games coming up, starting with Class 3A. So congratulations to the Bobcats and Coach Eric Stenberg for getting it out there. Assumption with a walk-off win over Solon earlier today, in case you missed that. And that was by a score of 5-2, a three-run home run coming in the bottom of the seventh inning. That was the winner for Davenport Assumption. The 1A is just getting underway right now down in Fort Dodge. And Regina in 2A action will play later on tonight. And I think that is what we have. 4As. They are done. Semifinals. Carlisle beat Boone 9-8. Oskaloosa beat Fairfield 7-1. Carlisle will meet Oski tomorrow, and that will be in the championship game in 4A. That will come up at about 12:27 p.m. according to the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union website. On the nose, 12:27 p.m.
Poll question: almost everyone is saying that extreme cold is worse for them.
That's fine. That's fine. It's individuals.
2657 on the text line. It is my opinion that the cold is worse. The heat doesn't bother me particularly if I'm working. It's when I'm sitting still outside in the heat that bothers me. But overall, I would rather be hot as heck rather than cold. Kyle at 9314. I'm looking forward to ice fishing.
Ice fishing? That's a long ways.
In other words, he doesn't mind the cold.
Does not. You know the first thing I think of when I think of cold weather, Mark?
Snowblower?
No. Well, now that the snowblower works, I only used it twice last year. Well, close. What's our favorite fall winter activity?
Curling.
Well, okay, what's our, that we take part in?
Well, this spans several seasons. Bowling Night in America.
Bowling Night in America is just around the corner.
That starts at Labor Day.
Well,
it's 80 degrees then.
It's around the corner.
Yeah, it's mostly done in the winter, though, yeah.
About time for the meeting, isn't it?
Yes. Mike Hoskins, where are you?
Here in the last 90 seconds or so, we told you about the poll question. Coming up tomorrow, Friday, we're going to have a topic for you. And I've been thinking about this. We've been thinking about this the last couple weeks or so, because we've had a lot of talk about rivalries, et cetera, both individual rivalries. We had one in golf, if you will, over the weekend with Mickelson going up against Henrik Stenson there at the British Open Championship. But the best team rivalries in any sport, the best individual rivalries, and that is what we're going to talk about tomorrow. We're going to get your input on that at 319-366-1600. Our Friday topic, we'll throw it out there. Rivalries. It's Rivalry Friday coming up tomorrow.
Talking like rusty nails versus pen pals?
Absolutely. Okay. That has got to be in the top 10. I'm going to come up with my 10 best rivalries, and you've already spoiled that one. Hope our friends, the pen pals, they bowl in the summer, by the way.
That's sick.
They bowl all year round, you know. They're gunning for us, and they have the jacket right now. If that's not incentive to get Bowling Night in America up and running quickly, then I don't know what it is. I want to let everybody know with the heat, please use air conditioning if you can, water, make sure you're hydrated. With that in mind, next week, Tyler and Todd are going to be at the Wednesday Lunchbox Heroes. They're going to be at Mercy Care Prairie Creek, Southwest Cedar Rapids. That's by the hotel at Kirkwood, and they'll be over there next Wednesday. Hope you enjoyed it. APC next, KGYM.
Hear that? That's the sound of freedom, a sound you'll hear a lot more of when you work for PMX Industries. They're based in Cedar Rapids and have full-time positions available right now. When you work for PMX, you'll be working 3 and 4 day work weeks, which means more freedom to do what you and your family like, more freedom to hit the campground, and more freedom to play outside. See how easy it is to work full-time at PMX Industries and still have plenty of time and money to do what you and your family love. Learn more at ipmx.com.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier baseball team fell in the Class 3A district semifinal.